There had been abuse in my family, but it was mostly musical in nature.
Welcome to the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Ellery Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And Ryan Johnson.
Yes. Who makes movies.
Right. Yes, he does. And one movie that he's made recently is Star Wars Episode VIII, The Last Jedi.
Yes.
And apparently Kathleen Kennedy and the higher-ups at Lucasfilm kind of like the film.
Yes, they are apparently quite happy with it. And how do we know that they are so happy with it?
Because they've handed over the keys to the kingdom for him to make a trilogy of films.
Yes.
Now, he is producing them, potentially directing, and in charge of the scripting process.
Yes.
The only confirmed story details we have is that it is a part of the Star Wars universe that has never been explored.
Yes.
Which could mean a whole bunch of different things. I mean, are we counting the old expanded universe? Are we just counting the new stuff? Are we just counting... Right. Are we just counting film? Are we counting TV stuff in there? Are we going to finally learn the backstory of Lumpwana? I mean, so many different things.
It's all about Forlom.
That would be interesting.
No, it wouldn't.
You're right, it wouldn't be interesting at all. It would be pretty awful.
Yes. But we will keep an eye out.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's Star Wars. We're going to be keeping an eye on this one, and odds are you will, too.
Yes.
In other news, our friends over at Criterion and Janus have the rights to the Showa-era Godzilla films. This is roughly a dozen of the first Godzilla movies, including, of course, Godzilla, Godzilla Raids Again, the first sequel, and on, up through the late 60s, I believe.
Mechagodzilla?
I believe there's a Mechagodzilla in there. Currently, they are...
Smog Monster?
No, Smog Monster's 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be dipped.
Mm-hmm. currently, they are licensing them out to Stars for home video, but they do have plans for their own eventual release. I'm hoping that they do something like their Zatoichi set or their Lone Wolf and Cub set, because that would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome.
Okay, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
In less pleasant news, the list keeps expanding, as we've said, and now we can add Louis C.K. to the list of sexual predators. Alleged sexual predators, I guess. But
well, when he comes out
and says and that these are true.
Said, yeah, these things are true.
So I guess I could just say sexual predator.
Yeah. And it has completely wiped his film I Love You Daddy off the map.
You know, when your film is titled I Love You Daddy and you're accused of these things, yes, wipe that film from the map. Put it next to the put it on the shelf next to The Day the Clown Cried and let that be the end of it.
That's the thing is this movie has been seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Played at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It got a couple of critic screenings.
Yeah, a few of our colleagues in the Chicago Independent Film Critics Circle have seen it.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is not... It's not completely buried. Which is tough to do in this modern age.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... Along similar lines, Kevin Spacey continues to be erased. His
this is
kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Ridley Scott has gone back and removed Kevin Spacey from
All the Money in the World.
Yeah, All the Money in the World, replacing him with Christopher Plummer.
Yes,
which
reshoots are happening pretty much as we speak.
Right, which is really awesome. Just
considering the movie is due to come out before the end of the year.
Right. Just down, I mean, the casting of Christopher Plummer as Getty is really great. The fact that Scott can do this, just from a technical standpoint, is really, really great. And the fact that Spacey is being so thoroughly...
wished to the memory hole.
Right, for his crimes, is actually kind of great.
Yeah.
So, that just... It strikes me as an all-around win. Unless, of course, you're Kevin Spacey, but who gives a shit?
Yes, we are less concerned with Mr. Spacey's feelings on pretty much
anything. Yeah.
At this point.
I was asked over the weekend if this has changed my feelings at all in the movie Seven.
And?
Well, he was cast as a creepy, abusive... psychopath.
Yeah.
So it just comes off as stunt casting now?
Yeah. Typecasting.
Yeah. So, anyways. Spacey and Louis C.K. are not the only ones. That, like I said, the list keeps expanding. There are accusations against George Takei now.
Yeah. And this one was interesting.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons.
Okay.
But Gal Gadot has, well, according to the New York Post's Page Six, so grain of salt, has said she will not sign on for Wonder Woman 2 unless Brett Ratner has been completely removed from the picture, the situation, producing team, etc.
That's one of those news stories you just kind of hope is true.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really nice if Warner Brothers was faced with, do we keep this producer or do we keep our franchise?
Yes.
But, so listeners, what do you think about these various stories? What do you think about these issues? Let us know your thoughts. Contact us via email at
mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Of course, that's not the only way to get in touch with us. You can also find us
facebook.com/neonmoviebunker
or
twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker.
That's right. And then, of course, you can go to our site,
neonmoviebunker.com.
Find all sorts of fun stuff there. And, of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Google Play.
Yes.
Stitcher.
Yes.
And so many more.
Yes. Find us. Listen.
Let us know what you think.
Become one with us.
Yes. For we are the collective. So, John.
Yes.
You saw a film. I saw a bunch of films, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I'll, let me grab this little program here. I made it to the Cinepocalypse Film Festival, and I saw some fun things there. Let me just call up, I saw The Crescent.
Okay.
A ghost story following a mom and her young child who, following a funeral, go up to their mother's, or to the grandma's lake house to kind of regroup, recover, and strange going-ons happen. And this is, some people have compared it to The Babadook.
That was my first.
Not really.
Okay.
This is much more of a, Babadook is a monster movie. This is much more of a ghost story.
Okay.
A pretty damn effective one as well. And the age of the child is significantly younger, and more of the film hangs on that child's performance.
Okay.
And it is one of the better child performances that I have seen, period. Also, had the chance to see Apple Cart. Less said about that, the better.
All right.
It just really, just the less, oh.
Man. Not good.
Not good. Trench 11, which is a World War One set, essentially viral zombie outbreak movie.
Hmm.
And it's set in an underground bunker across and behind enemy lines in Germany. And an allied team is going there to find out what's going on there. A German team is going there to kind of hush it up and shut it down. And there's a fun conflict, a fun action monster movie type thing, action horror film, really well done. The best thing that I saw there was Mohawk, written and directed by a friend of the show, Ted Geohagen, a movie about some of the last of the Mohawk tribe being chased through the woods and hunted by American soldiers.
Mm.
And it is a brutal and really impressive film. It's going to get a theatrical release next spring.
Cool.
Which is something to look forward to. The there was also a secret screening. And I saw that.
Yeah.
And do you remember that early computer game called It Came from the Desert?
I think so.
It was about BMX bikers fighting giant ants.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been made into a movie now.
Huh.
Still about BMX bikers versus giant ants.
Okay.
It's okay, I guess. It's not the worst thing I've seen. It wasn't even the worst thing I saw that day. That would be Apple Cart. But, yeah. But, yeah, also had a chance to see some other things there. They had a really nice retrospective showing of Maximum Overdrive. They had Foxy Brown, Near Dark, all sorts of fun stuff there. I'm looking forward to next year's festival. I'm hoping to be able to go to that as well.
All right. I, too, have seen movies.
Yeah, what'd you see?
I saw Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
Directed by Kenneth Branagh. Screenplay by Michael Green, based on the novel by Agatha Christie. Stars Kenneth Branagh, Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe, Judi Dench, Leslie Odom Jr., Josh Gad, Tom Bateman, Daisy Ridley, and Johnny Depp.
Yep.
It is a story of Hercule Poirot, who, when the movie starts, he is in Jerusalem, solving the mystery of a stolen relic. It's 1934.
Okay.
And we see his deductive process and whatnot. He solves the mystery and is happily then going to take off to Istanbul for some holiday.
Okay.
When he arrives in Istanbul, he is contacted by the British government and asked politely to come to London with all due speed to consult on a case. He meets some people here and there. And he agrees to go to London on the Orient Express, running from Istanbul to Paris, and then he can take train from Paris to Calais and etc.
Yeah.
One of the people he meets on the train is Edward Ratchet, played by Johnny Depp, who is he's an unsavory.
An unsavory?
Yes. A Johnny Depp unsavory.
Uh-huh. That's a very specific type of unsavory.
And redundant.
Yeah, a wee bit.
Ratchet offers him money to serve as his bodyguard because he has been receiving threats. He ostensibly is an art dealer, but what he really is a art forger.
Okay.
And gangster and unsavory, as I said.
General ne'er do well.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first night, the train is winding its way through the Yugoslav mountains. There's an avalanche, and the train is derailed. But that's not the big problem. Big problem is that Edward Ratchet turns up dead.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
12 stab wounds in his sleep.
Ouch.
Yeah. There's no pattern to the wounds. They can't tell whether the killer is right-handed or left-handed.
Okay.
So, the proprietor of the train, or the guy who's serving in the head administrator of the train trip, asks Poro, who is a friend, to solve the mystery.
Okay.
For the sake of the reputation of the Orient Express.
Right, right.
I
would kind of imagine for a character like Poro, it would be just hard not to jump in.
Yeah, yeah. So Poro starts digging and discovers that, first of all, Edward Ratchet was not his real name.
Really?
Yes. And he discovers that he had a more colorful past than even he imagined initially.
Okay.
And he begins to he interviews everyone, all the passengers on the train, one by one, about what happened, where they were, alibis, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And he discovers that some of them have a connection to an earlier kidnapping. And that's where I'm going to leave it, just because it is a mystery. And to say any more would be
kind of spoiling the point of seeing the film.
Yes. This movie is highly adequate.
That is either an incredible backhanded compliment or very faint praise. I'm trying to figure out which one.
Well, backhanded insult or faint praise. Yeah. Backhanded compliment and faint praise are the same thing.
Same thing. True. Good point. Good point.
Yeah, I wish I could help you with that.
Yeah. What keeps it from being more than just adequate? I mean, it's got a great cast.
Yes, it does. It's a little bit padded. It could have been trimmed a little bit. What do I always say about Judd Apatow movies? I couldn't cut 10 minutes, but I could cut 10 one-minute segments.
Right.
That holds true here, too.
The idea of Judd Apatow's Murder on the Orient Express does sound amusing, though. I would go see that.
Yeah. It looks great.
Okay. I would expect so.
Yeah. It was shot on 65mm.
Okay.
And there's some just great detail in the shots. Performances are good all around. There are some problems with the plotting.
Really?
That I think come from Agatha Christie. Or, well, no, that's not necessarily true. There are things Poirot figures out that have no... We don't get any evidence of them.
Okay, so he knows things that he shouldn't, based on what's displayed on screen.
Right.
Gotcha.
Which is not great.
Yeah. Particularly for a mystery.
Yeah. Branagh's good. Josh Gad is surprisingly good.
He is really turning out to be a damn good actor.
It's highly adequate. It really is. It's a good one to send your parents to.
Okay.
I don't regret seeing it.
Right. But it's not something that you're going to be rushing out to again.
Right. It's not something I'm going to be talking about in December.
Okay.
For good or ill.
All right.
It is...
It's just down the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Fine entertainment.
Yeah.
But nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah.
Just sort of there.
Yeah. So, yeah, Murder on the Orient Express in theaters now. Yeah, you can do worse, but you can do better, too.
Okay. One of the things that is better... And I say this taking your word as far as the quality of Murder on the Orient Express, is 7852.
Ah.
The documentary about the shower scene in Psycho, and really a lot more, from writer-director Alexandra Filippi. Includes interviews with Bret Easton Ellis, Peter Bogdanovich, Jamie Lee Curtis, Mick Garris, Karen Kasama, Neil Marshall, Marley Renfro, Danny Elfman, and many, many others.
Wow.
And while this is primarily an examination of the setup and creation of the shower sequence in Psycho, it does go into a lot of detail. It does go into a lot of detail of that process, how it was set up, how it was storyboarded, how Saul Bass did the storyboards for it.
Nice. And
yeah. You get to see some of those. Yeah. This movie is film geek heaven. And
Saul Bass is God.
You get a conversation with Danny Elfman about how the music is constructed for the sequence.
Cool.
And how he came to be involved in the remake and his feelings on that, which are really interesting. The documentary also explores the way in which the movie... And really, this scene in particular kind of split movie-going history in two in a lot of ways. For example, prior to Psycho, you go to the movies whenever you want to. You pay for your ticket, go in, and if it's halfway through the movie, you sit and you wait until it runs through and you see the first half afterwards.
Which would probably make Mulholland Drive more comprehensible.
But maybe, anyway. Maybe not. The whole idea of holding to a showtime and not allowing people in started with Psycho.
Hmm.
The other option is, or the other thing is that the idea of the lead not being safe is something that is started with Psycho. You know, you can draw a direct line from Psycho to Scream with that sort of thing.
And side effects.
Side effects. Oh, so many. Yeah. So many movies reach back to Psycho and grab onto that. The start of the modern horror film. You know, so many of the major horror films prior to 1960s Psycho were set either in the future or in the past, and typically not in America. Psycho changed that. So you have this film that 50-some-odd years later still holds up incredibly well, and you have some of the most talented minds and fans. You know, Guillermo del Toro shows up and gives his thoughts on Psycho. Elijah Wood shows up and gives his thoughts on Psycho, and you know, a couple of his writing partners are sitting there with him, and they're just talking about their first experience seeing it and how... And I've had this experience too. It's one of those movies where you turn on the TV in the background for just noise as you're cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm.
When Psycho comes on, house cleaning kind of stops and you sit and watch it.
Yeah.
This documentary gets into... There are revelations in this for me, and I've seen Psycho countless times, but there are certain... other perspectives on it that I just never would have grabbed onto myself. And having this sort of dialogue on screen about the movie is really fascinating. So often when you have a documentary like this that takes a popular film or takes any film and kind of dissects it, you end up losing the magic of the subject. And it just kind of becomes an inert object, no longer able to captivate. That is not the case here. Here it is. It's a testament to how powerful a movie Psycho actually is, and how entertaining and how insightful and how well performed and well written and just generally well executed, that you could have a documentary that spends so much time dissecting it and pulling it apart, and afterwards watch the subject and still be sucked right in. The documentary goes into dissects the shower scene in the best possible way, and does this without pulling that magic out, does it with a very gleeful tone. You know, this is a labor of love for everybody involved. Nobody is here like, yeah, Psycho, I guess it's... These are all people who truly, truly appreciate the film and its place in film history. This does an exemplary job of going into the great detail as to what makes the film so powerful, and that one scene so strong and able to pull people in. I would definitely recommend this is playing at the Music Box Theater right now. If you're in the Chicagoland area, go.
Okay.
And see it. It is really, really good. You will not regret it.
All right. So listeners, did you see Murder on the Orient Express, or did you see 7852, or did you see anything at Cinepocalypse?
Yeah.
Please let us know what you thought. Mail at neonmoviebunker.com. In the meantime...
DVDs and Blu-rays.
That they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to be released.
Yes.
Yeah. You jumped ahead.
Yeah.
I just figured I'd give the full idea that you were reacting to ahead of time. What? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I was crazy once. But not anymore.
Atomic Blonde!
Yeah. Yes, Atomic Blonde is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Yes.
And Ultra 4K.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As most new releases are.
More and more. There's still some that aren't making their way there. Also available on DVD and Blu-ray this week is Keddie.
Kitty Cat movie.
Mm-hmm, the documentary about the cats of Istanbul, I believe. And...
Yes.
Yeah, that is a fun movie. And definitely worth your time. Do you have a catalog title for us this week, John?
I don't.
I do. The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Ah, Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Is available from our friends over at Shout Factory. And that is a title that is definitely worth your time.
Cool. Got anything for us to avoid this week?
Yeah, Harmonium is kind of inert. Not necessarily something that demands your attention.
Okay. I've got nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
Hey, Ellery.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First of all, list of things to see right now is Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's a blast.
It really is.
It's a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
It is both a blast and a hoot.
Wow.
It's a hoot blast.
Okay, then.
Next on the list of things to see right now.
Mm-hmm. Killing of a Sacred Deer is still in a few theaters.
You're right, it is. And it's really good.
It is. From what I hear. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yes. Killing of a Sacred Deer. And last but not least, things to see right now, still on Netflix, is the Meyerowitz Stories New and Selected.
Hmm. If you're going to stay home and pop something into your home video player of choice, the first thing I'd recommend is The Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson, the founder of Marionette Animation. Oh, man, I'm never going to get that word.
Super Marionation.
Thank you. He designed all sorts of the trippy puppet things from the 60s and early 70s.
Thunderbirds Argo.
Yeah, and this takes a look into some of the things that didn't quite make it off the cutting board. Or the drawing board, rather.
Cool.
would also recommend Zoology, which is an interesting film. And I made a mistake a while back. I said that George A. Romero, Between Night and Dawn, was released previously.
Yeah.
I was mistaken.
Yeah.
It's coming out this week.
Okay.
And this includes Season of the Witch. It includes a lot of movies that...
The Crazies.
Yeah. That stray away from his more well-known horror work and is a really good way of getting more familiar with the man's work and what he is capable of doing, or was capable of doing, rather.
All right. Want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Mm-hmm.
We are available on Facebook, facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter at neonmoviebunker.
Mm-hmm. I'm also on Twitter as LRA@NeonMB.
No, you're not. You're on Twitter as @LRA@NeonMB.
Well, that too.
I'm @JohnNMB.
Mm-hmm. And you've been very quiet lately.
Have I?
Yes. What? Now he goes quiet. Just staring at me. Those piercing blue eyes, gazing into my soul. But the joke's
file
on John.
Found.
Yeah, exactly. There's no soul there to gaze into.
Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, we are there. Find us, listen, subscribe.
Let us know what you think.
Yes. Maybe leave us a review.
Yeah.
Reviews are nice.
Mm-hmm. We do reviews all the time. It's about time somebody does a review of us.
And so we come to the end of another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode is produced by LRA Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by...
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.